We all stumble in many things. Some things you read and you just have to respond, isn't that the truth? We all stumble in many things. Let me tell you about a person, remind you about a person who stumbled in many things. The tall, lanky, quiet boy never had much of a chance. He had to work from the age of 7 when his family lost their home. 2 years later, his mother passed away. As he grew to adulthood, the young man held a series of small jobs until he reached his 20s, when he was hired and then later fired as a store clerk. But operating a business appealed to him, and so he took out a loan that would enable him to buy into a small business. But then his partner died 3 years later, leaving him with an incredible amount of debt that he could see no way of paying that back in the near future. He fared no better at relationships. Approaching his 30s, he was still a bachelor. Even though he had dated one particular girl for 4 years, courted her, and when he proposed, she turned him down. It was just another failure, but he was growing accustomed to that. Twice he ran for Congress. Twice, unsurprisingly, he lost. To put it kindly, his credentials were not impressive at all. At the age of 37, with more than half his life over, he was finally elected to an office, only then to be subsequently voted out of office. He failed in 2 separate runs for the Senate. He failed in a vice presidential try. No one was more conscious of his legacy of failures than he. At one point in his life, he said, "I am now the most miserable man living. Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell." Some would say he didn't know when to quit. Others would say that we're glad he didn't. For at the age of 51, Abraham Lincoln became probably the greatest president that America has known. But yes, Abraham Lincoln failed in many ways. But you and I can relate because we stumble in many things. I was interested to read about a book that Stephen Pyle wrote. It's entitled The Incomplete Book of Failures. But I couldn't help but laugh when I also read that in this edition of his book, The Incomplete Book of Failures, he found out it was missing 2 pages. And then he had to write a letter of apology and insert it in the book. But that does illustrate something for us. We have all failed at one time or another. We all make mistakes. And the book of failures is incomplete because we're still living. And as long as humanity lives, there's going to be mistakes. There's going to be failures. And I'm not trying to be pessimistic, just realistic, because we all stumble in many things. The scripture says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And again, we all stumble, James 3 verse 2, in many things. You've seen lists of famous failures. The teacher of Thomas Edison who said he was too stupid to learn. You've heard about the teacher of Einstein who described the boy as mentally slow, unsociable, and adrift forever in his foolish dreams. The Hollywood talent scout who said Fred Astaire was balding, he couldn't sing, but he could dance a little. The newspaper editor who fired Walt Disney because he lacked ideas. But then the Disney executives who rejected Star Wars, claiming it would be a flop at the box office. Oh, there's a long list that we could cite. But the best and the brightest throughout history have this in common with us. They've all stumbled. I don't want to talk about them. I want to talk about us. And when we stumble, when we fail at something, the question is, how do we face failure? How do we face failure? I want to suggest 4 things this morning. Number 1, we need to acknowledge our failure. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to ignore it. Don't try to dismiss it. But admit it Own up to it. Step up and take responsibility. Because then and only then can we move forward past our moment of failure. Let me hasten to say this, that not every failure is sinful. Not every failure is sinful. Sometimes it may be a job where, through no fault of our own, the company decides to downsize and we haven't been employed there for long, and so we lose our jobs. Some may perceive us as failures, but we recognize that circumstance is beyond our control. There have been relationships that have failed. But many times there is someone who is innocent that has done all that he or she can in a marriage, for example, to make it work, but only to see that relationship dissolved. But here's one who feels like a failure when he or she may have done everything possible to keep it intact. What about Job? He lost his family, his home, his holdings, but he was not being punished for his sin, as his friends said. In fact, though he never claimed he was sinless, he maintained his integrity and knew that despite what his friends said, he had not done anything worthy of the losses that he had sustained in his own life. Not all suffering, not all failure is sinful. Jesus, after all, was seized, he was convicted, he was executed. He died a criminal's death. But it was not because of a mistake that he made. It was not because of his sins, but as we know, because of our sins that he died on the cross. But not every failure or seeming failure is sinful. But on the other hand, if we have sinned, we need to admit it. Accept responsibility for it, confess it, and seek the forgiveness of God and others. Because sometimes we can trace our failures to sin in our own life. A blatant example is David. Listen to his writing. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. You see, as he writes these words, he is convicted. He is sensing that guilt as an overwhelming burden on his life. He can't sleep. He tosses and turns. He groans. He is weak physically because of that heavy burden of guilt. He has failed. But notice verse 5 of Psalm 32. He said, I acknowledge my sin to you. My iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And it was then and only then that David, having failed miserably, could now know the peace of forgiveness. Because that same psalm begins with these words. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. But you see, if our failure is tied to our sin, we need to face our failures, even those that are not due to our sins, but acknowledge them. But secondly, we need to apply the lessons of failure towards success. The reality of life is that we learn more through our failures than we do our successes. Oh, successes are wonderful. They're important to us. But failure can be our greatest teacher. How so? Because it's in those moments there's the opportunity to learn and to grow, to become stronger and better. Though the lessons may be very difficult. But that's the one redeeming factor of failure. We have the opportunity to learn. It can be a doorway to new insight and new opportunities and a lot of growth. It has been said that we should forget our failures, but remember the lessons they taught us. And we need to apply those lessons of failure towards success. Jonas Salk is famous for his vaccine for polio, developing that. It's interesting to read that 200 times he failed in his efforts to come up with this vaccine. But that's not the way that he looked at it. He said he had simply found 200 ways how not to make a vaccine for polio. I believe Thomas Edison said something similarly in trying to develop the light bulb. But it was thousands of ways that he had failed, or actually, as he said, had found ways that it didn't work. But just like Jonas Salk, Thomas Edison, in failing in those ways, it kept them going and they found ways that things wouldn't work. But ultimately, it led to success. We need to apply those lessons of failure toward our future success. Thirdly, and this one I want us to understand very well, we need to accept failure as a fact of life, not a way of life. Accept it as a fact of life, but not a way of life. Failure is an event, not a person. When we fail, that's an event. And it doesn't have to define us. It doesn't have to be what we're known for. Peter, for example, knew all about failure. Jesus warned him about his failure when they were in the upper room. Jesus told him, you'll be given three opportunities, and each of those three times, you're going to fail. He said, assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter did just that, denied the Lord three times. And when that rooster crowed, well, the scripture says, then Peter remembered the word of Jesus when he said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Some people never recover from such a negatively defining event. Some people allow their failure to define them for the rest of their lives, but it doesn't have to be that way. And you and I need to accept failure, yes, as a fact of life, something we have done, but it doesn't define us. It's not our way of life. But in Peter's case, we can turn over a few pages over to the book of Acts and see him boldly preaching Christ in Jerusalem, where Jesus had been crucified just a few days earlier. And we see that something had to happen. Something happened between that failed service and that fiery sermon. And we find that in John 21, when Jesus took Peter aside and gave him an opportunity three times to reaffirm his love for Jesus. Peter would learn many lessons, among them these, that failure can be transcended by forgiveness. When you and I have failed, and it's because of sin in our lives, it can be transcended by forgiveness. If we'll just turn from it, if we'll obey the Lord, be baptized into Christ, as two precious souls have this past week. Failure need not be final. It's a fact of life, not a way of life. And then lastly, how do we face failure? But arise from failure and start again. Arise from failure and start again. We have record in Scripture of those who wallowed in self-pity, but we will not find a record of that wallowing in self-pity that did the person any good. The only wise move is to bring this failure before God, acknowledge it, and rise up and start again. I think about Jonah. God instructed him to go to Nineveh to preach repentance to the Ninevites. Instead, he tried to get away, hide from God, and go in the opposite direction. You remember how God sent a great fish to swallow Jonah, and to say that Jonah did some introspection those 3 days in the belly of a fish is an understatement. And when he was spewed back up onto the ground, notice Jonah 3, verses 1 and 2. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. But don't miss this, that the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. He had a second chance. He had an opportunity again to do the will of God. And this time, he did it. He got up and went. And he experienced great success, the reluctant prophet did. A total of 120,000 Ninevites repented under his preaching. But you see, he had to arise from failure and start again. And so must we. I was reminded of a Nike commercial that featured Michael Jordan a few years ago. The younger ones may not readily recognize Michael Jordan. That makes me feel old. But the Nike commercial was entitled Failure. And it showed Michael Jordan getting out of a limo and making his way to what I presume was a Coliseum. In it, he is speaking to himself, and this is what he says. I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed. You see, he found success in the sports realm not because he never failed, but because he arose from each failure to start again. When we fail, we too need to arise from failure and start again. Mary Pickford wrote, if you have made mistakes, even serious ones, there's always another chance for you. What we call failure is not the falling down, but the staying down. Don't stay down. Arise from it and start again. So we failed. Now what? Let's acknowledge it. Let's learn from it. Let's not allow it to define our lives for the rest of our lives. But let's arise and start again. And isn't it wonderful that when we have failed and our failures have been sin, that because of Jesus, we can rise and start again. We can be buried with Him in baptism and be raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And when we as children of God stumble and fall, if we'll confess that sin and ask God to forgive us, He will. And He says the blood of Jesus will continue to cleanse us from our sins. There's a Scottish preacher by the name of Alexander White that wrote this about the saints of old, Christians of old. He described them with these words. He says, they fall down, they get back up. They fall down, they get back up, all the way to heaven. If you've fallen down, won't you, by the grace of God, get back up? Take that opportunity that God has provided through Jesus to begin again. Whether it's your need to obey the gospel this morning, whether it's our need to repent of sin and ask God for forgiveness. If you need to respond, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?